action, or to argue against it. Whatever forms they take, the historicities characteristic of cultures or regimes are marked by specific interpretations of what is temporally relevant. From this, it follows that the configuration of this relationship in turn gives rise to a sense of time that possesses an intuited shape or timescape, depending upon which parts of the past are felt to be near and related intimately with the present, and which are perceived as alien and remote. The book focuses on four moments. It opens with the struggle between Friedrich Wilhelm of Brandenburg, Prussia, 1620-88, known as the Great Elector, and his provincial estates after the end of the Thirty Years' War, examining how these disputes invoked starkly opposed temporalities and tracing their impact on the emergent historiography of Brandenburg, Prussia. The Elector's reign was marked, I argue, by an awareness of the present as a precarious threshold between a catastrophic past and an uncertain future, in which one of the chief concerns of the sovereign was to free the state from the entanglements of tradition in order to choose freely between different possible futures. The second chapter focuses on the historical writings of Frederick II, the only Prussian monarch ever to have written a history of his own lands. It argues that this king consciously retreated from the conflictual view of the state expounded at the court of his great-grandfather, the Great Elector, and that this departure reflected both the changed constellation of social power sustaining the Prussian throne and Frederick's idiosyncratic understanding of his own place in history. In place of the forwards-leaning historicity of the Great Elector, I suggest Frederick imagined a post-Westphalian condition of stasis, embracing a neoclassical steady-state temporality in which motifs of timelessness and cyclical repetition predominated, and the state was no longer an engine of historical change, but a historically non-specific fact and a logical necessity. Chapter 3 is a study of Bismarck's historicity, as articulated in his political arguments, rhetoric, and techniques. For Bismarck, the statesman was a decision-maker, carried forwards on the torrent of history, whose task was to manage the interplay between the forces unleashed by the revolutions of 1848, while at the same time upholding and protecting the privileged structures and prerogatives of the monarchical state, without which history threatened to degenerate into mere tumult. It argues that Bismarck's historicity was riven by a tension between his commitment to the timeless permanence of the state and the churn and change of politics and public life. The collapse in 1918 of the system Bismarck created brought in its wake a crisis in historical awareness, since it destroyed a form of state power that had become the focal point and guarantor of historical thinking and awareness. Among the inheritors of this crisis, the fourth chapter argues, were the National Socialists, who initiated a radical break with the very idea of history as a ceaseless iteration of the new, whereas Bismarck's historicity had been founded on the assumption that history was a complexly structured, forwards-rushing sequence of ever-new and non-foreordained situations. The Nazis plinthed the most radical aspirations of their regime on a deep identity between the present, a remote past, and a remote future. The result was a form of regime historicity that was unprecedented in Prussia-Germany, but also quite distinct from the totalitarian temporal experiments of the Italian fascist and Soviet communist systems. The objective of this book is thus to invert the project pursued in François Hartog's Regimes of Historicity, and explore instead the historicity of a small selection of regimes. One could do this by examining the ways in which formal state structures, ministries, military commands, electoral and royal courts, and bureaucracies managed time, situated themselves in history, and imagined the future, though this would beg questions about whether the term state can be taken to denote something that was continually present in the same sense over the period covered by this book. I have chosen a different approach. I am interested in how those who wielded power justified their comportment with arguments and behaviors that bore a specific temporal signature. How these shapers of power related to the formal structures of government varied from case to case. The Great Elector wielded power from within an executive structure that he gradually and